The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
As long as there's, you know, sex and drugs, I can do without a rock and roll.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And if you want rock and roll, you got it. One of the most legendary bass players from one of the most legendary rock and roll bands, Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap, is here today to talk about the Tap, whether they will ever reunite. Sadly, I don't think so. And most importantly, his first ever solo album, Smalls Change, a concept record about getting old in the world of rock and roll. You'll hear why he thinks Marty DeBerge's movie about the band This Is Spinal Tap is nothing but a hatchet job. Derek's also talking about the controversy surrounding the zucchini in his pants, the incident captured in the film. He recounts Spinal Tap's Glastonbury performance in 2009, playing Wembley Stadium in 2007, and whether Derek, David St. Hubbins, and Nigel Tufnell will ever perform together again as Spinal Tap. He's also sharing some details about his first ever solo record, Smalls Change, and how he was able to get everyone from Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins to Joe Satriani to Steely Dan's Donald Fagen to Dweezil Zappa, all doing guest shots on the record. And you can see Derek and his band this summer doing select dates with various symphony orchestras around the country. They'll be in Atlanta with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra on June 29th. And at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on July 19th. Follow Derek on Facebook at Smalls Life, also on the Twitter. And Derek Smalls, the legendary bass player for England's loudest rock and roll band, Spinal Tap, going solo on his new album and right here on Talk is Jericho. But before we get to this incredible interview, Fozzy's hitting the road this summer as well. Judas Rising Tour starts again fairly quickly in July, going all the way through to the end of September. Lots of gigs. July 12th, Rock USA in Oshkosh. 13th at the Cadott Rock Fest in Wisconsin. 14th, Peoria in Peoria, Illinois at the Riverfront. 15th in Belvedere, Illinois at the Apollo Theater. Then we head over the pond to Europe, the Pfezzen Festival in Hungary on the 26th. Prague on the 27th, Rock of Ages in Sebron, Germany, 28th. The 29th is in Zurich, Switzerland at Vuk, 21. Rock Planet at Pinarello di Servia in Italy, August 1st in Slovenia. August 3rd at the Wacken Festival in Wacken, Germany. August 4th in Berlin. August 6th in Bochum. August 7th in Aschaffenburg, Germany. That gig is sold out already. August 9th at Leyendas de Rock Festival in Alicante, Spain. August 11th in Alcatraz Festival in Belgium. And then we end it all off on the 12th in Canton Park, Derbyshire for Bloodstock, our return of Bloodstock. And then we come back to the States for the start of the Judas Rising Tour next leg, August 24th in Atlanta at Smith's. You can come see us there with Adelita's Way, Stone Broken and the Stir. Lots of gigs to check out. Go to FozzyRock.com for all the gig information and all the VIP information. Plus, we're also doing the Rock Allegiance show in Camden, New Jersey on October 6th. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on. FozzyRock.com for all ticket information and VIP information. Come hang out with us. You get to meet us, hang out, take pictures, sign. We'll sign stuff for you. And you get to see a special exclusive mini concert just for the VIPs. It's a lot of fun. So go to FozzyRock.com. And speaking of a lot of fun, Derek Smalls of Spinal Tap, direct from hell, starts now, right here. Talk is Jericho.
On the bass, Derek Smalls. He wrote this.
I have to say, that's a very big honor. I've had probably, I don't know, a dozen Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, maybe more, on the show. And now I have someone who's not in the Rock and Roll Hall
not
of Fame.
Not a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And never will be.
Never will be.
That's my oath to you.
For more reasons than one.
Well, I will reject it.
Reject it.
Yeah, I will say, sawed off Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So if Spinal Tap ever got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you would pull a Sid Vicious and not show up?
I'd pull a Shasheen Littlefeather.
Little known.
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain the Shasheen Littlefeather story?
Shasheen Littlefeather was who Marlon Brando nominated to accept his Oscar because he was in such awe of Native Americans.
Was that thing for like a Streetcar Named Desire or something along those lines?
No, it was much later than that. I think it was for his Godfather.
Could you actually find, I wonder if the real Shasheen Littlefeather is still alive?
I don't know. Might just do a wax figure of Shasheen Littlefeather and have her accept it.
A hologram.
Hologram would be great.
Is the new thing now
to
do that.
Shasheen Littlefeather hologram would be perfect.
Just comes up and accepts the rock.
It says rock on.
Yeah. Boom.
In Native American.
Which
Navajo, probably.
You think? Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of the Choctaw area.
You put an extra syllable in there.
Well, I'm Canadian, so we say things a little
Choctaw?
Differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Choctaw. I think that's like a little tribe outside of Winnipeg where I'm from.
I see.
Not as well known
as the Choctaws.
As the real Choctaws. Yeah. It's kind of an offshoot. So.
Canadian Choctaws.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hence the extra A.
Yeah.
But you don't think Spinal Tap will ever get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I think they've got a thing about us. I think they think we're too good for them.
Yeah. They think that about a lot of bands. If you think bands that should be in there, like bands even of your ilk that you influenced, like Iron Maiden and Scorpions and those type of bands, they're not in there either.
Yeah, I guess so. It should be a real Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the one, you know, I mean, like the Creation Museum.
The actual one.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the LA Museum of History and they leave out a bunch of stuff that they put like in the, you know, at the La Brea Tar Pits.
In the other Museum of History, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys could be in the other Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Tar Pits.
Rock and Roll Tar Pits.
Yeah.
Which could be a little bit apropos.
Yeah.
Some people calling you guys dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. There you go. See? And we found the fossils. And here they are.
Rock and Roll La Brea Tar Pits. I'm going to ask you the question that probably everyone's asked you. I mean, the world's buzzing about your solo record.
Oh, I thought that was because it's not grounded.
Well, there's some issues. There's a lot of bees, actually, the problem.
Yeah.
A lot of bees actually around the ungrounded wires, causing a double buzz.
Double buzz.
The triple buzz being Derek Smalls.
Yes.
Solo record.
Yes.
Smalls Change.
Yes.
Why now and why bother?
Later would be too late.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no bother.
Okay.
It's a pleasure. It's a labor of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
The band has dissolved for maybe the last time, and it's a band that doesn't really. Do you need to take messages there?
No, I'm just watching. See what's going on now.
Oh, you're controlling this with your phone.
Controlling everything
with your phone.
Yeah, with my phone.
Wow.
And the recorder at the same time.
So instead of having an engineer to do that, so you can concentrate on this,
do it myself.
Do it yourself.
You know, it's
great.
A little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
The budgets aren't what they used to be.
I understand,
Derek.
I understand.
In the record business.
Well, same with making records. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is why I made it now, because it would be cheaper later.
You had extra money and you just, why save?
Well, it wasn't my money. The story is, I had Tap played Glastonbury and Wembley Arena in 2009. And then I thought, right, here we go. But here we didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited around and then I realized you're on your own, mate. So I did some TV in the Netherlands, which we can talk about if you want,
mm-hmm.
or if you've got a Netherlands audience that would be aware of it.
Big demographic
big of Dutch demo.
Netherlanders here. Yeah.
And then I went to Albania because I had a friend there, Eddie Dregs, who's a leader of a near-death metal band called Chainsaw Vermin. And I was sitting in with them, and I thought, this is not how it ends, sitting in with Chainsaw Vermin. And I saw an advert for a thing called the British Fund for Aging Rockers, which apparently had been set up because they had this money all left over from austerity. And so I applied for a grant. And they said, what's your idea? And I said, my idea is you give me money and I make a record. And they said, no, what's your idea? And they said it twice, so it's supposed to mean something different, I guess. It's like a concept or something.
Right.
And so I said, well, You're supposed to write about what you know. What do I know? I know I'm getting older. So I'll write about that. So that was the concept of record, Meditations Upon Aging.
Right, and all the songs deal with all of those types of...
Everything to do with it, from how it feels to noticing things changing, going by, to looking back at the golden, what we now would regard as...
Golden age. But having an MRI.
Having an MRI, or needing some more money, yeah. or looking back at the platinum age of rock and roll, which mm-hmm. would be the 70s and 80s.
Let me go back into a couple of things you said. You mentioned that the band has dissolved, and you didn't think that was going to happen after you guys did. I mean, Glastonbury is one of the biggest shows you could ever do.
130,000 people sitting there looking at us,
right.
Going, what the hell is this?
And some of them actually listening as well. As
a lot of them listening. Many yeah. of them just, you know, it was lunchtime.
Sure.
And, so, you know, unpacking.
People have to go get drinks and
to
bathrooms. So that's a big responsibility for a band.
Keep them there. Keep them from going to another stage. That was our job.
That was your job.
Yeah. yeah. There's 12 other stages at Glasgow. So, your job is not to make them come in and pay money. They're already there.
Right.
Your job is to make them not leave to go to another stage, which we did. We kept them there. Yeah.
Because it's also quite a responsibility. Every festival needs a band that plays that people know they can go to the bathroom.
A bathroom band, they're called the business.
Bathroom bands.
Yes.
Some great bathroom bands over the years.
Yeah.
You know?
No, they held it for us.
They did. Okay, that's great. Yeah. So you guys have this big successful gig holding people at the stage.
Right.
Minimal bathroom band experience.
And then Wembley right after it. We sold out Wembley with Keith Emerson playing with us.
Another huge accomplishment.
Yeah. And then, poof.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Well, what happens after 50 years?
I think David and Nigel got bored of music, to tell you the God's honest truth, or the devil's honest truth, whichever you like.
Either one.
Nigel got totally hung up in breeding miniature livestock.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing of his. You know, the people who like miniature trains or miniature soldiers, he likes apparently likes miniature livestock now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got a farm down in Berkshire, I think, and he's... started breeding miniature horses. As he said to me, he can't find jockeys small enough to ride them.
Right,
so
yeah.
Pushed it a little too far, I guess.
It becomes an issue.
The issue is the guitarist personality, because they're extreme people, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I speak as a bass player. We're very moderate kind of people. I mean,
I'm a bass player as well.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
You see? I could sense that.
Yeah.
I could sense that moderation.
Kindred spirit going on here.
But these guitarists are always like pushing, not only pushing the envelope, but getting rid of the envelope and just, I don't know. Then
ripping it in two.
Ripping it in two and eating the stamp or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so last I talked to him, he was breeding miniature goats.
Hmm.
And he's done it again. Now they're too small to milk. So, you know.
He's always one step off the mark.
Well, he's too far. He pushes it too far. David, I don't know what he's up to tell you the truth.
Hmm.
It's a mystery to me. He sends me, I don't use the internet. I got cured of the addiction, so I don't use it. But he sends me these letters and open them up. And they're all Chinese pictograms on the page. And I don't know about you. I mean, maybe you read Chinese pictograms. You could help me out there because I don't.
I haven't yet.
I don't even know if it's Mandarin or Candarin or whatever the other one is.
A couple of the other ones, yeah. There's a few, I think three or four. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of fits.
There's Cockney Chinese too, I think, in Beijing.
Oh no! Right.
Yeah.
Beijing, right?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
That
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that before. It doesn't surprise me, though, because David has always been kind of the more of the ethereal, spiritual type of a
yeah, yeah. He is. And all of that airy-fairy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And I don't say that as a criticism. I say that, you know.
They're very popular right now.
There's nothing wrong with Airy Fairies.
Airy Fairies are there's a big clothing shop down in Soho here.
Yeah,
in the Soho area of London.
Yeah,
or of Los Angeles, I should say. It's a new area.
Soho area of Los Angeles.
It's a new place.
Yeah,
yeah, it's little known, but
it's all new here. That's the thing about this place.
It's not like Europe. Europe hundreds of years old.
That's right. There's no history here.
Nothing.
What happened here yesterday? I don't know.
Airy Fairy shop opened up. A pop up store is what they call them.
Ah, yeah.
And that opened up in the new Soho area.
And then they popped down again.
That's it. Very quick.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. You got to be on the spot.
So an ex-pop-up store would be a pop-down store.
Yeah, it's a pop-down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the reverse, right? You have to give the stuff back at the pop-down store. Which leads me to my next question. Is it sad for you, after being with your two mates since 1967, which I believe is when you joined Spinal Tap, is it just one of those things where it's enough, or do you miss jamming with the guys?
It's both. It's enough and it's miss.
Mm-hmm.
It's miss enough.
Mm.
I miss it enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, life is supposed to be about growth and growths, but more about growth than growths, if you're lucky.
Right.
And so this is the new, it's like the snake sheds its skin, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And does he spend a lot of time thinking, I miss that old skin. I wish I had that old skin back.
Mm.
That was my best skin.
Right.
I don't think he does.
You can't.
No.
Even if he wants it, you can't. It's gone.
He's a snake, isn't he?
Right.
If he's thinking about stuff, he's in the wrong body.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's kind of one of those Buddhist reincarnation things that got put into the wrong body, and he's worried about his shedding skin rather than eating a mouse or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't think snakes are Buddhists myself, but that's just a personal belief.
Okay. Well, that's your prerogative.
That's
I'm not going to tell you that you can't.
You're not going to try to convert me into believing that snakes are Buddhists. I appreciate that.
I mean, I would not want
to. No, I'm grateful for that.
You know, we're just getting to know each other here. That would be overstepping my bounds.
Got it.
As a
interviewer.
A journalist.
Yeah.
Yes.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Now, during the Flower People period, who was your drummer?
Stampy's replacement, Peter James Bond. He also died in mysterious circumstances. We were playing a festival. Jazz blues festival. Where was that?
Well, blues jazz, really.
Blues jazz festival.
It was in the Isle of Lucy.
Jazz blues festival.
And it was tragic, really. He exploded on stage.
Just like that.
He just went up.
He just was like a flash of green light, and that was it. Nothing was left.
His face.
Well, there was.
This truly did happen.
There was a little green globule on his drum seat.
It's like a stain, really.
It was more of a stain than a globule, actually.
Dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to talk a lot more about your solo record and about some of the other activities that you've done over the years, but I do want to get to one of the it's kind of been a little bit of a bee in your bonnet, and not one of the bees from earlier that's buzzing. This is a bee that's in there. I know that you weren't happy with the portrayal of Spinal Tap.
Well, that's more of a burr under my saddle than a bee in my bonnet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomato. Canadian.
About a boot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are you from Sly or...
No, I'm from Nilford.
Nilford, okay, right. Yeah. So Nilford, Winnipeg, tomato. people have said, and there's been interviews you've done where you said that you feel that this is Spinal Tap by Marty DeBurgi, the documentary mm-hmm. that kind of puts you guys on the map, was more of a hatchet job
yeah.
than a pro situation
yes.
for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, okay.
If you want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, is it Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for paying attention.
It's a pleasure to.
You don't know how many guys come in here and have no idea who they're talking to. So
really?
The fact that you actually know my name is very...
Well, you have a very Chris-like demeanor.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent the Chris-ness of
Thank
you.
Thank you. Someone called me Graham once, and I didn't feel that.
No, you don't want
correct.
To be a Graham.
No.
So, back to your question.
Hatchet Job.
This was our first American tour. 25 cities, supposed to be 26, but one dropped out.
Go straight ahead, yeah. Turn right the next two corners, and first door you sign... Authorized personnel only.
Yeah.
Open that door. That's the stage.
You think so?
You authorized. You're we'll musicians, aren't you?
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Rock and roll.
All right. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Let's get it.
This way.
No.
This way.
Straight
rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Here we go. Hello, Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland.
You must have made a wrong turn.
Scientifically, 91.48% of the time, we found our way to the stage straight away.
Right.
You didn't see that in the film.
They didn't show that, did they? No, they didn't.
Reason, I'll give it to you in a moment. Secondly, I got out of the pod similarly about 77% of the time. We've counted this. You don't see that in a movie. Movie. I'm going to call it a movie because it doesn't, you know, it's not a film. Mm. So he presents himself, Mr. DeBurgi, as a fan of the band. And yet he has this agenda. What's going on? It's going around my head and I'm trying to figure it out, you know, trying to piece it together. It's a puzzle. I'm trying to solve the puzzle. And the best I can do is this. He says he loves the band.
We're lucky. Yeah. I mean, people should be envying us, you know. I envy us. Yeah, I do.
Me too.
And he's probably, as a fan of the band, frustrated, as we were, to be fair. I'm bending over both ways, to be fair. Frustrated that 17 years on, we hadn't really broken through and made it big. And so he thinks to himself, he's a filmmaker, right? He thinks like a filmmaker. He says, I'm going to make a film that's going to help these guys break through to the big time by turning them into a laughing stock.
Mm.
And that's his agenda. And I felt very bad about this. It was a... literally a burr under my saddle and not a bee in my bonnet.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, the late Duff Smalls...
God bless him.
Yeah, God bless him. Said something that really rang a bell in my head, which was, it's better to be a laughing stock than no stock at all. So that's words I live by today.
Mm.
Tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah, but today.
Today.
And also, too, it's also better to be a laughing stock... than to be livestock.
That's
true. You wouldn't even be human at that point.
It's better to be laughing stock than Woodstock because that's gone.
That one's gone
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Or I Woodstock, don't even... the cartoon character from the late great Charles W. Schultz and the Peanuts.
Yeah.
Do you guys have Peanuts in England?
We have snacks.
Okay. This is actually a comic strip.
No. We have a few nuts. But we don't have Peanuts.
Okay, well, I don't want to get off the topic here, but because the thing is, it did, and it is interesting.
You don't want
to
talk about nuts, then?
Well, I do like nuts.
Yeah.
Everybody
likes
shapes
nuts.
Shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, really.
One way or another.
Whether you know it or not.
Yes.
Which could come walk up on you one day and just, oh my goodness, I really love nuts.
I'm really a nut lover.
And it's a whole life change.
Yeah.
Which is a fine thing, and hopefully someday I'll get to experience that as well as you. But until then... when we're talking about Spinal Tap, and you say it made you kind of a laughing stock,
mm-hmm.
but it also did put you on a different level because now everyone knows this
yes,
is Spinal Tap.
Yes, but it's like, you know, and everybody complains about fame. It's that thing that you get tired of hearing about people who are in show business is say, oh, well, I get bothered because people come up to me and say this or that. And, you mm-hmm. know, with me, you say, Derek, you're going to get out of the pod tonight. You're still wearing the courgette in your trousers, Derek.
Right.
And that stuff. And it's, yes, it's better that than who the f*** are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely
sure.
It's better than that. But, you know, it's not what you want people to be saying about
mm-hmm.
you. You know, if you could choose,
mm-hmm.
you can't. You can't
right,
choose.
Right, right.
But if you could.
There's a fanboy question I want to ask you for being a longtime fan. Why was the cucumber wrapped in tinfoil?
First of all, it was a zucchini.
I'm sorry, of course, cucumber, far too small of a vegetable.
Well, far too warty a surface, you see, for the desired effect. Wrapped in tinfoil. Have you ever worn a vegetable in your trousers?
I have not.
Okay. You're wearing a vegetable in your trousers. They're tight-fitting trousers, so the vegetable does not fall down. It stays right where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tightness. Now you're on stage, bright lights, running about, playing an instrument for 2-3 hours on stage. Bit of sweating goes on. Sweating in the thighs, where the vegetable is, and pretty soon it loses its consistency and you've got a trouser full of mush.
Mm. You never want.
If you want it, you can have it, but that's not what I wanted.
No.
But so, hence the foil.
The foil will keep it
intact.
Keep it intact.
It maintains its integrity.
Consistency? It's integrity.
Integrity.
Integrity. Yeah.
It's integrity.
It's very much integrity. Okay. Yeah. And that's probably another thing. I'm sure you walked through the airport security many times with the zucchini in place. Or was that the only time?
You see, that was the only tour.
Okay.
Because I've never had a problem with, as we call it in the business, my power stance. But that was our first American tour, big halls than we'd ever played before.
Some of them filled with people.
Some of them filled with people.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, Derek, because I call myself Derek when I think to myself, I thought, what if stage fright or nervousness affects this? Let's have an insurance policy, mate. And that's all that was.
Mm-hmm.
And never since.
You haven't needed it since?
Oh, no, didn't need it then. It was just an insurance policy. You don't need an insurance policy. An insurance policy is something you don't need. That's why you have it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you don't have it, you feel that you need it.
If you don't have it, you feel that you need it.
It's one of those strange...
That's a paragram.
Double entendres or paragram.
Yeah.
Exactly, as well. When we're talking about, you mentioned the late Duff Smalls.
Yes.
Fine gentleman. Very, very skilled in his line of work, which I know he passed on down to you. But it's a line of work that doesn't exist anymore.
It's like
being an encyclopedia salesman a traveling vacuum cleaner salesman.
That's right. Repairing covered wagon wheels, wooden wheels, you know.
Yeah.
No call for that either.
It's a very bad business for those type of guys now.
Yes. He, just to get the mystery out of the way, sanitized telephone handsets. And this was very big business in Britain after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
People were very concerned about germs, as they should be. If my dad had lived, he would be gobsmacked at the idea of the mobile phone.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And, you know, because what's the germiest part of your house, Chris?
Your fingers? Of your hands?
No, of your house.
Your ears?
Oh. Of your house.
Tell me.
It's not the toilet.
It's
your phone.
Oh, the phone itself.
And you're putting this in your pocket most of the time, where there's, you know, who knows what's been in there.
Terrible things.
Yeah. So, I mean, Duff, were he alive, he went about sanitizing the landlines, as they're called now, the telephone handsets, every week with a little spray that he'd come up with. But I think had he lived to this time, he would have invented a sanitizing app for the mobile phone and would be a tech billionaire today.
Mm.
So we could only hope.
Because when you look at your phone, it's always got smudges on it.
And smudges are just basically the tracks that germs leave.
The devil's tracks.
Yeah.
I think they are.
It's like the germs writing graffiti saying germs were here.
Yeah, germs were here.
That's what smudges are.
It's getting all over you.
Yeah.
And so he would go door to door.
In those days, yeah.
Spray
the... Now it would spray the phone. Now it would be some kind of self-sanitizing thing that's an app.
Was this a family business that you were brought into at first?
I was, yes. My mom had left when I was 4, so by necessity, he took me about on his rounds after school, and when I started school, and then when I left school. So, yeah, I learned all there was to learn about sanitizing phones, not knowledge that's really...
Can't really use it now.
Not really useful anymore, no.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Well, just in case, you never know.
You never know when somebody's going to ring up and say, I've got a German landline phone. Can you, and I'd say, well,
Well, that might be what society needs, is a little bit of a step back from all this technology and the Teslas and the apps. And maybe we need to go back to a simpler time when you couldn't need to have your phone sanitized.
Yeah, I mean, one of the songs on the record, Butt Call, is exactly about how the telephone was at one time just this marvelous way of bringing people together for harmony and understanding. And now it's just another pain in the ass.
Literally. Sound from the ass.
Yeah.
I like how you have used always ahead of the curve.
Yes.
The first band to have three or four bass players on one song in Big Bottom.
First band to have a double neck bass.
Double neck bass, that's right. And now the first, well, not, I don't know if it's the first, but you're using the telephone ringer as an instrument in that song.
Yes. And we use the sounds of the MRI machines in MRI. So there's a lot of real sounds on this record.
Very proggy.
Yeah, there's a prog side to it. There's a metal side to it. Yeah. I have more than one side to me.
Mm. Well, there's two sides to you,
front side and the back side. Yeah,
of course.
Musically.
Right. Yeah. And physically.
And physically as well. Well, there's four.
Oh, I guess if you go into
the side. Sides.
Right side, left side?
Yeah.
So you're very complex.
I'm at least four-sided.
At least there's four sides to the Derek Smalls coin.
That's right.
Is what you can say there.
Yeah.
But you've always had that prog element with Spinal Tap when you talk about like Stone Age and those
types
of songs.
Yes.
I know you were one of the major writers of that song.
Yes.
On obviously Big Bottom, like we said, with the four bass players, the three bass players, which led up to, I believe it was a Live 8 when you had 15 bass players on stage.
Live Earth. And it was 19. And one of them was Mr. Trujillo from Metallica.
Yeah.
Who just tore the place down.
And so James Hetfield was on stage playing bass as well.
Yes.
From Metallica.
Yes. All sorts of people were on stage. All the bass players from all the bands.
From all the bands.
Yeah.
I remember you were just reading them off.
Yeah.
You know, so-and-so from Madonna.
Guy's... Well, everybody wanted to.
Yeah.
It was a thing for them. Yeah.
Is that kind of a little bit of gratification for you to know?
Very little, just a little bit of
gratification.
Yeah. I'd say selling out major arenas would be more gratification.
Okay, but you didn't get that.
Not yet.
It's coming.
Yeah.
But you did get 19 of the biggest musicians in the world playing bass on your song, thinking that it's
the coolest thing in the world. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, when we're talking about the hatchet job of This Is Spinal Tap, and you can use two hands to open that. It's hard to open a bottle of water with one hand, isn't it?
No.
Oh, look, you used your knees.
Used my knees.
Those are a couple of your sides there. But you might have spilled a little bit there, but it's okay. Good.
It's only water.
There's plenty more. We have a couple more bottles, too. We didn't spare any expense here.
These haven't been washed in a while, so they could
that's
use the
kind of smoking use... that some water actually touched it, so it's good.
Yeah.
I think you actually wore those in This Is Spinal Tap.
No, these are new. These are relatively new.
Gotcha. So when you're talking, we mentioned the hatchet job.
Yeah.
But yet...
You're calling it that now, too.
Well, only because you did.
No.
I never saw it as that.
But you're saying it now.
Just because I'm saying it doesn't mean you believe it. Doesn't mean I believe
it. You say things you don't believe.
Not literally.
Okay.
And that point should be clear.
Okay.
But you have this whole legion of musicians, big time musicians who grew up as Spinal Tap fans,
and a lot of them are playing on my record as a result.
That's right. Yes. You have a whole list.
Yes.
Of top notch A list musicians.
A litany. Or a listany.
A listany.
Yeah.
A coperconia. A smorgasbord.
A smorgasbord, indeed. It's Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, Dweezil Zappa, Richard Thompson, Wardy Wachtel,
Donald Fagen,
David Crosby, Rick Wakeman, Paul Schaefer. List goes on, and then it stops.
Once it gets to the end. But it's a long list.
Yeah,
it's very good.
It is. It's impressive. It impresses me.
How are you attracting all of these A-listers? Like, do you have the names on speed dial on your Jeremy cell phone?
Well, I don't use the cell phone
because
of my internet addiction.
Right.
I use it. I mean, I'm down to 10 minutes a day. That's what I can use.
Well, this cell phone's not really internet, though, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is. All right. That's how kids use the internet.
Oh, on the cell phone.
On the cell phone.
But just to use it for a phone call.
For a phone is what you mean.
The phone, yeah.
Phone. No, but it's once you get on it, you know, there's no stopping you. So, I mean, I don't know if you saw this week, Apple said they've got something that's going to tell you when you've been using the phone too much.
Oh.
And this was part of my therapy, was my therapist was giving me signals that you've used the phone too much. You must stop now, down to the 10 minutes. So I think, and I'm not predicting this, that my therapist might well sue Apple. But we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, what was the question?
I was just asking you about how you get all these fine musicians.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, some of them we knew. Dweezil, Satriani, Steve Lukather, another of the great guitarists.
Great player.
Had played on Tap Records as guests in the past. And others were just, let's try it. Let's see what happens. I mean, Fagan, interesting story about that. Because the song is called Memo to Willie. Willie, as you know, as a Canadian, is British slang for the gentleman's member, the distinguished member down from...
Sure. Or a nickname for the name William. But if you're going from the slang side, it could mean you're
Johnson, your Wiener, Johnson, your Peter. Yeah. Everybody's got a foot. Yeah. So the bridge of the song, and I was doing in the studio doing this vocal, the bridge of the song is time is just... because the song is basically... the motivation for writing the song. I don't have this problem, but I watch these adverts on the telly in the States where it's a bloke in his 30s, nice looking bloke in his 30s, maybe early 40s, and he's with a nice piece of crumpet, and they're on a canoe, you know, rowing down a lake or hiking in the woods or bicycling in a nice part of the city, and he's going to get it on. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden a voice comes on and says, when the time is right, will he be ready? And I'm going, is this an epidemic I didn't know about? And so the song is, mate, before you think about taking a pill, just give him a stern talking to. You know? Get it up, get it up, get it up is the chorus. So the bridge, time is such a poor excuse, age is but a number. You can still be of use when I'm dead. That's when you can slumber. Give me that lumber. And after I did that,
genius.
Thank you. My producer said, sing Willie, don't lose that lumber. And I did. And we giggled about it like that. And then I thought, he's going to sue me. So I wrote to Mr. Fagan. I said, two things, don't sue me. And two, please sing it.
Right.
And he did. Well, I mean, we're one for two so far, but I don't think he's going to sue. So, but for most of the rest of them, it was just, you know, keep calling, keep calling, keep calling, keep calling. Finally, they said, yeah, we'd love to. Sorry we took so long, but we'd love to play on your record. One of them summed it up, I forget who, by saying, yeah, man, it's like a pity fuck. And I took that as a compliment.
How could you not?
Well, could you not? Because we've all been on the other side of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Well.
On both sides.
Yeah, now.
So how is it for you now on your own handling all the lead vocals? Because primarily in Spinal Tap, David St. Hubbins is the lead singer.
Yes.
And you do some backups to Adam Gonorake. We've all seen the famous, but now you're shouldering the load as the lead singer of the
voicing
band.
Voicing the load, really. It's not in the shoulders.
It's in the voice.
It's in the voice.
Because the voice comes from the diaphragm, which is in the stomach.
That's right.
Which is not close to the shoulders either. So I was way off on that work.
If you sing with your shoulders, you're going to hurt yourself.
You'd be like Mick Jagger, sort of a thing, right?
That's right.
So just, how is it for you to stomach the load, to diaphragm the load?
Diaphragm the load. Well, you know, I was concerned about that, and I did. Snarky Puppy does a music festival every year in Miami Beach, and 2017, February, they invited me to do a set, midnight set, at the festival with their band, the Snarky Puppy boys, lads. And so it was an opportunity for me to sing for an hour, nonstop. Well, I mean, when the songs ended, we stopped.
Sure.
And we started again when the next song began. But basically, you know, continuing to sing for an hour. And I thought, I can do this. It was really, that was it. I was road testing my voice to see if I could do it. And I can do it. Mm-hmm. So I will do it.
And you have done
it. And I am doing it. Yeah.
And you am doing it. You are doing it. And it's, you got a very...
You're Canadian and you said you am.
Well, once again, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that Choctaw talk or is that Canadian?
That's more just Manitoban.
Ah.
Yeah, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Got it.
So, yeah, I'm not the Choctaw. Winnipegger. So there's a lot of A's.
Can you Winnipegger?
Well, you can lose a pegger. It's much, much, much easier.
That's painful, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Trust me. Okay. Yeah, trust me. That's where we're talking about shouldering the load.
Yes.
Yeah, the shoulder pegs. It's a whole long thing. Your voice is very gruff. It's a very gruff kind of Molly Hatcher.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah,
kind of
I like
working
that.
On that. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a, it's the way I felt to sing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you don't sing by saying I'm going to sing this way. It's just what comes out,
right?
How it comes out, and it's I didn't listen to a lot of blues growing up, but people have said it's like some blues men,
Muddy Waters
or
type of
wolf
thing.
Howling, the howling wolf,
the
Howland wolf,
yeah,
sort of voice. It's just, you know, if you feel a certain urgency, and also you got to sing loud over the noise.
Yeah,
you got to be heard. So it's just a way of, it's barking, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of barking.
It's soul. You got some soul.
It's yeah.
Which,
I mean,
you want?
You know, I love dogs,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's part of it. You know, it's like they bark.
Mm.
Why wouldn't I?
Sure. Like, yeah, like a human dog.
Given half the chance.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Human dog type vocal.
Yeah.
It's a good technique. I used to have a cassette tape that was espousing the human dog vocal technique. I couldn't do it.
Really?
Voice is too
high. Wasn't the singing dogs.
It was just barking.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, there was a record, novelty record of dogs.
Singing dogs.
Singing Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
It was
kind of an Ed Sullivan type thing.
Yeah, was that the cassette you had?
Well, mine was from a few years later. It was from the back of a heavy metal magazine.
Oh, great. Know?
Maybe one of those near-death metal bands was doing that. Quick little segue into one of my favorite bands that you were in. A little bit obscure. Not a lot of people know about your Christian
Lamb's
metal
blood.
Aspect.
Lamb's blood. Yeah.
Whole Lot of Lord.
Whole Lot of Lord. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whole Lot of Lord. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean.
It was charted on the Christian charts, number 25 with a halo.
Hmm.
Was great. Very clean-cut band.
Mm-hmm.
Very clean-cut. Almost too clean cut.
Hmm.
They weren't really sure. You know, it's not like it's not enough to play. They have to be convinced that you are committed to the cause or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't sure because I'd come from metal and all that. So I got one of those fish tattoos that they get in
you know, like the fish. Like the
fish, yeah. Yeah, the fish. So I got that to say, and then they go, okay. You're one of us.
You proved yourself.
Proved myself. Mm-hmm. And then, wouldn't you know it, then TAP reforms. And I've got to go back to TAP. And they're going, what's with the bloody fish? And so I go get a tattoo of the devil eating the fish.
Oh.
And then it's like, I'm thinking, I can't keep doing this.
Well, no.
So I got all the tattoos removed, which was very painful because this was the early days of laser tattoo removal. They were still using the brown laser, which I don't recommend.
The brown one?
Don't let them use the brown laser.
Is that a name or is that a color?
No, it's like there's the red laser. There's
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, where they were using the before they got the
this
right.
This is a brown. It seems not as sharp.
It's just it's
sludgy.
Very burning. It was a burning kind of thing. I don't know what it was that they used, but it was
right.
Very painful, so don't do that.
You don't want to get any well, so many musicians have tattoos nowadays, though.
I know. It's like it's almost like tattoos have musicians.
Right.
Instead.
A tattoo walks in and said, I just got a musician on my shoulder.
That's right. That's right.
What do you think about that when you see how the heavy rock world has changed since you guys came in 67?
Well, you know, rock, there was a time, and we, and by we I mean me, take note of this on the record, the last song on the record. There was a time when rock was the dominant form of music in the world. We rockers strode the earth like so many colossuses, you know, and just built pyramids in the musical desert. And that time has passed. And the song is called When Men Did Rock, because it's looking back at that time.
Yeah.
Now it's like one of many forms of music. You know, now it's like you go to the supermarket and there's, you know, 8 kinds of dish soap. And there's rock and roll dish soap, and there's hip-hop dish soap, and there's EDM dish soap. And it's like, you can, you know.
So
but there's not like one dish soap that everybody buys. Is it, what, you're not using Fab?
So you're comparing the different styles of music nowadays
to dish soap. Yeah. Well, hopefully music is as daily part of your life as dish soap.
As dish soap, right.
We should hope.
You should hope, because you should be washing your dishes daily.
Right. And you should be listening to music daily.
Daily as well.
Yeah, so.
Hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
You know.
And you should be washing your hands daily, too.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
You don't wash your hands with dish soap.
You could.
Then you get dishpan hands, and that's a whole other problem.
No, not anymore.
Really?
No, they're nice to hands now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is there some kind of a cream that you use for this?
No, I'm saying that they've put nice things in the dish soap, so women don't fear to wash
it's
dishes.
Not as abrasive.
No,
because it used to have like a very small percentage of like hydrochloric acid.
Really?
Dish soaps in the past, which is why you would get the dish in hands.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's why you sniff the dish soap.
Well, you can do that too. It's like a whippet. You remember whippets?
No.
So a whippet is when you had a thing of whipped cream.
Yeah.
And right before you press it, the first thing that comes
out. Gas.
That's the smell.
Yeah.
And it would get you like a little bit high.
But you get a cream all over yourself.
Well, if you held it too long. That's
really
yeah.
Oh, so it's like a fast finger kind of high.
Sure, you know some guys can roll the perfect joint. Some guys can't.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Some guys can do the perfect whip it, just the short little gasp.
Yeah.
Other guys hold it too long. You got a
mouthful of whipped cream.
Mouthful of whipped cream.
Yeah.
A nose full of whipped cream.
Yeah.
Never led to anything good.
Well, you could lick it off.
Well, you could lick it off.
Yeah.
You could, but you'd have to have a really long tongue
to get into the nostrils.
To get up into the nostrils.
Yeah. But there've always been people who like to lick it off. Other, not your own nose.
Oh, wow. Kind of a little fetish.
Yeah.
Lick offers.
Mm, yeah.
I used to know a few of those in the 80s.
Yeah.
Lick offers.
Yeah.
Speaking of 80s, when you used to tour, and now you're going to go out and tour, great segue, you're doing some shows with this Derek Smalls solo band.
Yes. It's called, the show is called Lukewarm Water Live. Because I was...
You're lukewarm water. That's your nickname life.
That is. Again, that's one of the things you say. Well, people come up to you and say, okay, I'm happy with that, you know, because as I say, bass players are, that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're not these things that are going to explode and flame out, you know. We're a steady, we're low flame people.
Right.
We're
not like a drummer or something along those lines.
No, we're low flame.
We're very lucky in the sense that we've got two visionaries in the band, you know, David and Nigel are both like poets, you know, like Shelley or Byron, people like that. The two totally distinct types of visionaries. It's like fire and ice, basically. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, I feel my role is in the band is to be kind of in the middle of that, kind of like lukewarm water, in a sense.
So yeah, Lukewarm Water Alive. This is going to spill if I don't put the top on it.
Okay.
Appearance so far in New Orleans with the Louisiana Philharmonic, and then I got sick, so we're going to do more.
So you're actually going out with the orchestra, with the Philharmonic?
We're going out to be with orchestras, or we have arrangements with the Hungarian Studio Orchestra, and we will have them live via satellite along with us at some of the gigs as well.
Wow.
So the point of the exercise is to make up in grandiosity what it might lack in substance.
Mm-hmm.
So there will always be a symphonic kind of overlay of the rock experience.
It's kind of always been your motto. You make up for it with the pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, well, you got to. Because you got to give a little bit for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people, that's what they want. You know, that's why there's still a royal family. Because there's people who want the pomp.
Right. You know? Not as many people want the circumstance.
Not the circumstance. They really want the pomp.
Yeah.
Today, I think more than ever, they want the pomp.
Well, pomp is a fun word to say, too.
It is, pomp. but it's a fun thing to experience. Just a day full of pomp.
Of pomp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's work, there's family, there's thing. But, it's, you know, what a great thing to look forward to, just a day of pomp.
I just need to be pompered.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. When you go out on tour, do you have a full band that's with you?
Yes.
Is there any of the guys that we spoke about that are on your record that play?
No, there will be guests appearing either live or via satellite who appear on the record or even don't. But no, the touring band is a bunch of great players who've been in bands but are not the star level. They're not known. They play at the star level, but they're not known at the star level.
But now they will.
So you can get them paid at the star level. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. Of course. But going out on tour with a legend
might well be. Might well be.
Could help them out a lot.
Might well be. Yeah. Couldn't hurt them.
Well, it could hurt them.
Well, it could hurt them if they run in the bathtub like I did.
Oh, what happened?
Oh,
slipped.
My fitness routine was based on the idea that nothing is better for the lungs, for the heart, and for the legs than running against the resistance of water in a pool, ideally. And you get this great, you know, cardio and legs and muscles and all of that. But I don't have a pool. at my current state of lack of luxury. So I thought, well, right, I do have a tub, so I can run in the tub. Wouldn't get all of the resistance on the, on all of the leg, but, you know, certainly the ankles and maybe a bit of the calf.
The shins, yeah.
Shins.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a slippery place, the tub, the old tubber. So, my motto is to kids now, you know, don't run in the tub.
Don't run in the tubber.
Don't run in the old tubber.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned your lack of luxury. You would think one of the main, the three Spinal Tap members would have lots of residuals and royalties coming.
Yeah, you'd think that, except for the ex-wives. You have to account for the ex-wives, you know.
Right.
And I've got three of those.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are spigots that don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't turn off those spigots.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. As we wind down here, Derek.
Is that what we're doing?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
We're getting there.
No, it feels like it, but
I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
You got lots of press to do and lots of people. There's some paparazzi outside. There's a couple, still got a couple girls out there, it looks like.
They look like girls.
They
that's
do.
Right.
Yeah. That's another thing that's changed in the world today,
it is.
Right?
Yes.
You never really know for sure. Very, very famous Spinal Tap, Derek Smalls, always had the big props on stage.
Yes.
Believed in the element of the show.
Yes.
Do you have anything like that on the Lukewarm Water Tour?
Yes. Although designed as it was for a symphony orchestra to be on stage, it's not as prop heavy as it might otherwise have been. But we have two. I enter on... Well, I shouldn't give this away.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say how I enter, but I enter on a prop.
Okay.
That's very impressive. But I will say, when we do Big Bottom, which we do, because you have to, we launch, for the first time ever, the inflatable pink torpedo. So, look up.
Here it comes.
At that point, here
pink
it comes.
Pink torpedo.
Yeah.
Flesh tuxedo.
That's right.
That's one of the greatest lyrics
Rhymes.
Ever written.
Yeah.
You know, nobody had ever.
Well, it's an over rhyme. No, it's not. It's an actual rhyme. That's right. It's
torpedo,
pedo, and cedo.
Tuxedo,
yeah, it's a great rhyme.
I don't know if it's ever been those two words have ever been rhymed in rock and roll before.
No, well, you don't hear people in rock and roll talking about tuxedos, do you?
No, you don't.
Or torpedoes.
A little bit more, maybe torpedo, because it's like a weapon. But
yeah,
tuxedo.
But tuxedo.
Who's wearing tuxedos in rock and roll?
The Budapest, I mean, the Hungarian Studio Orchestra on tour with me.
On tour with you.
Yes.
I
answered your question.
You did.
Yes.
Very, very well.
Thank you.
Very well. What is your favorite song to play live from your new record? And what's your favorite song to play live from the Spinal Tap pantheon of material?
Big Bottom for the latter. For the former, I'd say with two. One is It Don't Get Old, which is this song about the rock and roll life. And if you're at the pinnacle, of course, it's private jets and champagne and the best women or men are hanging about. But if you're a couple rungs down, you could say, if you were being, quote, objective about it, well, it's looking a bit seedy, isn't it? Looking a bit long in the tooth and all of that. And yes, it does, but it don't get old. Is what the song is about. But it's just a great rocker to play, and it's fun to sing. It's one of the few songs that's actually in my key. I should have thought of that,
I
wrote them. Yeah,
before you wrote them.
But there's one more that I really love, because it's the only one that I don't play on. It's just me and the orchestra, and I have a number of basses that I play in the live show. They're all identical basses, but different colored. So I just changed basses to change the color, the color scheme. It's a fashion thing.
Sure, of course.
But there's one song that I don't play on because it's just with the orchestra, because it's almost a symphonic mood piece called Hell to Pay, which is about, as you may know, I wouldn't say I'm a follower, but I'm not a follower or a leader, but I pay a lot of attention to the Supreme Evil One. And a lot of people think this is shallow of me, but I think a lot about what he thinks about how he looks.
About Satan?
Satan,
how he looks?
And so the song is called Hell to Pay, because it's about him maybe needing a hairpiece.
And this is Toupee, T-O-U-P-E-E, Toupee.
Toupee.
Yeah.
And so I get to be a little dramatic. It's almost a recitation in song with a symphony, so I love to do that one.
Well, it could be true. I mean, Satan doesn't want to go bald.
Well, that's what I'm saying in the song.
Right.
I'm saying the last line of the third verse sums it up. A better-looking Satan could make a better hell.
Hmm. It's very, very
optimistic.
Optimistic, yeah.
Yes.
Very deep.
Yeah.
Two last questions. There's a little bit of a smear campaign going on right now by former Spinal Tap bass player Ronnie Pudding, who claims that when you replaced him in the band, that he played bass on the next three albums, including Shark Sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it's causing a little bit of a ruckus. Is this a case of a guy who's just in a bad mood and feels sad that he's not included anymore? Or is there any merit to this? Do you have any? Do you have any beef with Ronnie Pudding?
Beef with Pudding? No, always a bad idea. No, always a bad idea.
Yeah.
All I can say is I played in the studio. If something fishy went on in the mix, then it's a fishy mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got beef with putting on fishy mix. You know, mm-hmm. a sickening concept.
Terrible buffet.
Yeah, terrible buffet is right. So, sounds like me, felt like me. It might, you know, if David or Nigel were about, you know, they'd be the ones to ask. But I feel sorry for Ronnie for raising this at this point in time. You'd think if it was really a concern of his, when he first fled to Namibia, he would have brought it up, you know. Mm. He would have piped up from wherever there is in Namibia to pipe.
Trees?
Well, I mean, they must have had telephones in Namibia.
Maybe they were too dirty.
Yeah.
It was in the 60s.
My dad didn't come around there.
Duff wasn't around at the time.
So, but, you know, it's a bit, whatever the opposite of premature is, too mature.
Post-mature.
To bring that up now, I would say, you know. It's water under the dam.
Mm-hmm. Or water over the dam.
Water over the bridge. It's water over the bridge.
Water over the bridge. I think that's yes.
Yeah.
Because the dam would essentially stop the water.
Well, that's what he should do.
He should just stop the water.
Yeah.
Just stop the water.
Be the dam.
That's right. Be the dam.
Be the dam. Don't be the beef.
Be the better
be
dam.
Be the dam.
That's right. That's right. Last question, Derek. Do you think there's a chance that you'll ever play again with David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnell?
I don't think so. You know, do you remember the supercontinent Pangaea?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Well, not literally. I never went there.
You never went there.
It didn't exist when I was born.
That's correct.
Right.
It was about 300 million years ago.
Right.
And it was the supercontinent on Earth. And then you look 3 million years later, and it's gone. And there's South America and Africa and Australia. But there's no Pangaea anymore, right? And would you say to South America and Africa and Australia at this point in time, you guys going to get back together and be Pangaea again? Don't think so.
Mm. Can't be done.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's good to know that all those countries are still out there.
Well, they're continents, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
even more so.
It's great to know they're out there.
Yeah, and it's great to know the difference between continents and countries as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm still working on.
Well, Africa's a continent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Canada is...
a country.
Kind of a country.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
Yeah.
I'll accept that little dig there.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's done in friendship.
Well, and in friendship.
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 Well, it has to be Canadian, because it's Canadian.
So friendship.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we had a chance to talk today.
Me too.
With the original preserved moose.
Yeah.
On stage.
I know. I said that at one time. Yeah.
You did say that.
I know.
It's a famous line.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Would you rather be called lukewarm water or a preserved moose?
Lukewarm water.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's why the concert tour is not called Preserve Moose Live.
That's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
So at the merch stand, you're going to see the lukewarm water.
Yeah.
Although I bet you if you found a bunch of preserved moose, like little statues, you could sell those too.
Or moose preserves.
Ooh, yeah. That goes back to the beef pudding.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Chris. It is Chris, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Once again.
It's still Chris.
Remembered. It still is. It hasn't changed.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Do you feel that playing rock and roll music keeps you a child? That is, keeps you in a state of arrested development?
No. I feel it's more like going to a national park or something, and there's, you know, they preserve the moose, and that's my childhood up there on stage, is that moose, you know.
When you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to the amazingly intelligent and punctual Derek Smalls. He and his band are performing with symphony orchestras across the country. They'll be at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on July 19th. You can follow Derek on Facebook and Twitter at Smalls Life, so you can catch him live when he comes to a city near you and get his new solo record, Smalls Change, great headbanging rock and roll album, right up there with Spinal Tap's best, available now at iTunes, Amazon, wherever you get music, and also available available. Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Just go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com to book yours now, especially after this crazy match I had with Naito at Dominion. People are saying it's another possible match of the year. Of course, right up holding a candle to Kenny Omega and Okada. What a great match they had as well. All of these stories will be told on the Chris Jericho Cruise, and you'll be able to see so much more. Kenny Omega will be there. We're getting ready to do and release Impact versus Ring of Honor. First time ever. You can only see it on the cruise. And don't forget the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho. Is it the Bucks of Jericho or is it Y2 Jackson? Maybe, just maybe, if we could find a place that we could actually meet up and do this, we want to team up and form an alliance. So you never know what could happen. You never know what's going to happen on Chris Jericho's cruise. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and be a part of the whole thing. Everything's inclusive. Hanging out with the amazing list of guests. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com to find them all. And so much stuff is going on, including the Ring of Honor, Sea of Honor tournament. Matches happening on board. Winner of the tournament gets a Ring of Honor title shot. And like I said, you're going to see Ring of Honor versus Impact. You're going to see, possibly, you never know, the Bucks of Jericho. Or is it Y2 Jackson? And you're also going to see the villain Marty Scurll, Cody, Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle, Kazarian, Adam Page, Chris Daniels, Jay Lethal, Cheeseburger, Mandy Leon, Melissa Santos, Brandi Rose, Kelly Klein, Matt Taven, Flip Gordon, Delirious, Kenny King, Silas Young, the Beer City Bruiser, Rhett Titus, Will Ferreira, the Dogs. And like I said, Sammy Callahan has said he's going to be there. Who's he going to be wrestling against? So much coming up very, very soon. So don't you dare miss it. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. If you're sitting on the fence and you've been saying, yeah, it's a great lineup, but we don't know any matches, you're going to get some big matches soon. And you're going to get possibly, maybe, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, the Bucks of Jericho. First time only. First time ever. Only place you might be able to see it. And that's spelled to S-E-A. Lots of great stuff coming up. And we'll see you at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And we'll see you this Friday. It's going to be a huge show. I want you to go listen to 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson. Last week, they did 4 hours on Chris Jericho and WCW. Well, on Friday, I'll give my rebuttal. It's Jericho versus Bischoff in WCW. The rebuttal to 83 Weeks this Friday. It's going to be a long one, so buckle up, get ready. It's going to be a rocker. But in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, and a big yeah, boy.
I feel like lukewarm water. I'm like a preserved moose on stage, really.
Derek Smalls, what a brother. Aye.
Well, I don't really think that the end can be assessed as of itself as being the end, because what does the end feel like? It's like saying when you try and extrapolate the end of the universe, you say if the universe is indeed infinite, then what does that mean? How far is all the way? And then if it stops, what's stopping it? And what's behind what's stopping it? So what's the end, you know, is my question to you.